Grace, mercy, and peace be yours today from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you may know this, that my wife Amy and I tried our hand at planting a vegetable garden for the first time this spring. Some of you may not know that. Well, let's just say that we don't really know what we're doing. Neither of us have any idea what it actually takes to keep a plant alive long enough to bear fruit. But that's okay. We're trying our best, and so we've just kind of gone ahead and just we're trying it. And so we asked some help from Farmer Floyd. Floyd goes to the first service, and he knows how to you know farm things, and he knows all this kind of stuff that I don't have any clue about. And so I kind of asked him for some advice. You know, what's the approach? What kind of approach should I have in planting my garden? And so my wife Amy and I have employed the Farmer Floyd approach of sticking it in the ground and seeing what happens. And so that's what we've done. And so more or less we've been winging it from that day on. We've just been winging it in our garden. But I'm happy to say that it's gone pretty well so far. We've been able to reap some of the fruit of our labor, so to speak. We picked a tomato yesterday. We've been picking some sweet peppers that we've gotten to use. We've only killed two or three plants. So it's going well so far. And this is what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about gardening. We're going to talk about what it takes to keep a plant alive. See, Jesus in his ministry spent a lot of time talking about these type of things. He used these type of stories and metaphors that used seeds and farmers and produce to help teach about what it means to follow him. He used these stories and metaphors because they're things that we understand. They're things that are common in our lives, whether it's now or in Jesus' time. We understand what it takes to plant a seed and to help that seed grow and to see that grow into a plant and to reap the harvest from that seed that you have sown. But Jesus spoke about these things not because he's a master gardener. He spoke about these things because they teach us more about what it means to be a follower of him. And that's what we're about in this summer series. That's what we're talking about. This series, Summer with Jesus, we're spending time in the Gospels, reading about Jesus, seeing what he's teaching, and using that to help us see what does it look like for us to be followers of Jesus? What does it look like for us to be disciples of Jesus Christ here at St. Luke's? And so we've talked about worship. That was the first thing we talked about, worship, where this is what we're doing right now, where we gather together around God's word, gather in his name, and God shows up. Here, this is what we call divine service. God serves you in worship, gifts of grace and forgiveness. We talked about in worship that we have things that we repeat. There's repetition, and these things help shape us and form us in the faith. And then last week, Pastor Dan talked a little bit about Bible study, the importance of being in God's word, seeing the context in which our faith and our faith in Jesus is, and we talked about Jesus and his own Bible studies in the book of Isaiah. And this morning we're continuing to talk about this idea that we have to be people who are in God's word. And on that note, one of the other things that we're doing in this series, we passed out these bookmarks, say Summer with Jesus on them, and they have on one side dates and the other side readings through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the goal being that throughout the summer, we're reading through the Gospels together. So on July 20th, we finished Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. So if you missed the Gospel of Matthew, that's okay. If you read it, awesome. But that means today we're starting with the Gospel of Mark. So I encourage you to find your bookmark. If you didn't get a bookmark, I just dropped mine. If you didn't get a bookmark, grab one from the office, and we can be reading through Mark, Luke, and John together. If you did get a chance to read through the Gospel of Matthew, our reading from this morning might have sounded pretty familiar. It's a reading from Matthew chapter 13. We also know of this as the parable of the sower. And in this parable, Jesus is teaching the people. He's on this boat, and he's teaching to the people, and he's talking about this man who sows seed into different types of soil. And Jesus teaches, he tells a story, and then he teaches his disciples about the meaning of this parable. And so there's this man who sows the seed, and he sows seed along a path. And the path is the person who hears the word, but they don't understand it. They hear the word of Christ, but they don't understand it. And so the seed doesn't take root. And then the sower sows the seeds on the ground, this rocky soil, and it's kind of shallow soil, so the seed can't really take a deep enough root. And so when the sun comes out, it scorches the plant, and it's not able to survive. This is the one who hears the word, but, you know, they receive it. They're so excited when they hear the word, but when following Jesus and when hearing the word becomes difficult, they are scorched up and they lose their root. And then there's the soil that has the thorns and the weeds, and this is the soil that that takes root, but the cares and concerns of the world, that's the thorns, they choke out the plant, so it's not able to bear fruit, not able to be fruitful. Now this is a common parable. People know about this parable. It's pretty well known. But I think the importance of what Jesus is teaching here cannot be discounted. Because in these words, Jesus is teaching his disciples and us about this connection between hearing the word and actually receiving life that comes from Jesus. And Jesus doesn't sugarcoat it. He's pretty straightforward about it. He says there are going to be so many different obstacles that can prevent you from actually taking root in faith in Jesus. But I think what Jesus is also doing is he's getting a little bit deeper. He's not only talking about the beginning, the hearing of the word, but Jesus is also talking about what does it mean, what does it take to be a follower of Jesus? He's getting at that being a follower of Jesus is not just the one part of planting the seed, but rather it's a process. I think we have profound things to learn from this parable about the fact that following Jesus is a lot like tending a garden. It's a process. You plant the seed, but you don't stop there. You plant the seed, but you have to water it. You have to nurture it. You have to care for it. And so that when it grows, the seed turns into this healthy plant that bears fruit. So let's look at this process. The first part of that process is the actual hearing of the word. That's the most important part, because the reality is if you, no one ever told you about Jesus, if no one ever told you that he was the Son of God, if no one ever told you that he died on the cross for your sins, if no one ever told you that he loves you so much and wants you to trust in him that you might have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, if no one ever told you that, then there's no way that you would ever come to have faith in him. The Apostle Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing through the word of Christ. And I have to discount a little bit because, you know, we talk about you have to actually hear it. The word of God has to actually get into your ears, but some people can't hear. Some people are deaf. And so the reality is that you have to receive the word of God somehow, whether it's through writing or through hearing. You must receive the actual word about who he is and what he's done for you. That's the first part of this. This is the planting of the seed. This is the sowing of the seed that Jesus is talking about in this parable. The seed has to actually be planted. But even the planting of the seed is not a simple thing. You know, we don't take a bag of seeds and throw our seeds to the wind. When you go into your garden, what do? You go up and you till up the soil, you pull out the rocks, you get rid of the weeds, you prepare the soil to receive the seed, and then when you put the seed in, you plant a specific type of seed that you want to grow. You can't plant a tomato plant and expect a cucumber plant to come out of that. Planting the seed is an intentional thing. And what we are planting, the word that we are planting, is the word of Christ. We plant Christ. We preach Christ crucified and the forgiveness of sins. This is the seed that we are planting. And chances are, if you're here, you've heard that word. That seed has been planted. You've heard that before now. And if you haven't, then you have now, because I just did it. Because we believe here that the Bible tells us who Jesus is, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came into this world for a specific purpose, that you would believe in him, you would trust in him and have eternal life and forgiveness. That's the gospel. That's the good news in its purest form. That's the seed that we're planting. But let's look back at the garden for a moment, this garden metaphor. If that's the seed that you're planting, imagine this. What happens if you plant your seed? What happens if you plant the seed and just leave it alone? Will it grow? Maybe. It might grow, right? It might grow, it might not. We don't know. You know, as we see in Jesus' parable, there's a lot of conditions, right? There's a lot of different variables going on that might impact whether or not that seed will actually grow. But I think there's even more to be learned here. See, planting a seed and leaving it alone is no different than hearing God's saving word for you and then never actually spending time again in God's word. See, the most important part is definitely planting the seed. It's hearing that word. But if you leave that seed alone, how likely is it that that plant is going to grow up as it's supposed to? It needs to be watered. It needs to be nurtured. It needs the weeds around it to be pulled out. It needs to be pruned when necessary. You have to care for the seed, care for the plants. Planting a seed in your garden and then never doing anything to water it or nurture it is the same thing as hearing God's word for you. And never doing anything to continue to seek after God's word. Never continuing to immerse yourself in what God has given you to nurture your faith. There's no knowing if, as Jesus says in this parable, the birds will come down and swoop the seeds away, or the sun will scorch it, or the thorns will constrict the growth. You know, I think Jesus' agricultural metaphors go a long way to show us what it really looks like to trust and follow Jesus. It's more than just hearing the word. It's believing it. It's following it. It's immersing yourself in it. Studying God's word with others, letting it shape us, letting it inform our lives, listening to Christ's promises for us, the offering of life that it has for us, the freedom that it has for us, the grace to nurture your faith so that you would trust in him. That's why it's so important for us to be spending this time in God's word. But the reality is that it can look so different. You know, we have opportunities here on Sunday morning to spend time together in God's word. We have a Bible study. We have Sunday school. There are opportunities that you have at home to be in God's word. For me, myself, I always spend time in God's word with my cup of coffee. I know for a fact I'm going to drink my cup of coffee in the morning. And so I get my cup of coffee and I sit down with God's word and I spend time with him, letting that word of God nurture me in my faith. You know, we can spend time together as families. We can spend time with friends. We can talk. We can discuss. We can wrestle with God's word, making it a central part of who we are, a central part of our lives at home. But in all of these forms, whatever it looks like, studying God's word nurtures our faith. It allows us to grow and allows us to trust more in Christ as he intended. But that's not the end of the road. See, a nice green garden is a beautiful thing, sure. But we don't plant the garden for the purpose of having nice green plants. We plant the garden so that it might bear fruit, which is the same goal that Jesus has in mind in this parable. He says, the sower plants seed that it might bear fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. But what does it look like to bear fruit? I'm drawn immediately to John chapter 15. In John 15, Jesus teaches that he is the vine and we are the branches. That if we abide in him and he abides in us, we will bear much fruit. And the lesson there being that to bear fruit, we have to recognize it's not about us. It's not about what we're doing. It's not us doing the work to bear fruit, but rather what Christ is doing in our lives that we might bear fruit. we abide in him to bear fruit. We stay connected to Jesus. It's Christ's work and not our fruit. But what's the fruit? Well, then I can't help but think of the song from Galatians 5. Love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, right? I'm going to stop there. I should stop. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We know these as the fruits of the Spirit, right? And you know what's awesome about the fruits of the Spirit? They have to do with how you interact with one another. The fruits of the Spirit have to do with how you treat each other, loving each other, being kind to one another, gentle with one another, having self-control. We abide in the vine. We abide in Jesus that we might treat each other with the love that Christ has for them. We abide in Jesus to show love to our neighbor. We abide in Jesus that they too might abide in him, that they too might bear much fruit and receive those same gifts of grace and forgiveness. Now, I have to hold up a little bit. I have to stop myself from getting too ahead of things that we're going to talk about later in this series. But this is what God has for us. This is what God has in store for us as followers of Jesus, that we would put our trust in him and continue to meet together around God's word, that we'd continue to spend time in his written word that he's given to us, because it's foundational to who we are. We are Christ followers. This is our identity. This is the foundation, and God's word, the foundation, should mark our lives in our homes. And when that happens, lives will change. They will. Because God's word doesn't lie dormant. In Hebrews, we read that God's word is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the heart and the soul. God's word does not lie dormant, but will be living and active. And so that's my hope. That's my prayer for you, that in your homes and in your lives, God's word would be living and active. That it would impact your lives, it would impact your families, it would help you grow, that it would help you flourish, that you would bear much fruit. Not for yourselves, but for your neighbor, for those around you, that they too might abide in him and bear much fruit, that they too may abide in him and know his saving love. To that I say, amen.